Elizabeth Baird is a wife, mother, grandmother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. She uses all these skills to address the subjects that we grapple with in this conversation with the Reluctant Therapist. Happy Tuesday, Elizabeth.
Happy Tuesday, Tyler.
How are you today?
I am practicing calmness.
Oh, can you teach me how to do that?
Yeah, we actually are going to talk about that today. That is the essence of the show, is how can we use simple sounds, vibrations, mantras, song lyrics, inspirational words to help calm and center us when things get crazy and chaotic.
I think this is going to be good for me because anyone that knows me knows that I have no chill. So this will be really help calm me down.
Good. No off switch. We'll try to find one. And it's interesting because a lot of people don't have that off switch. They don't feel like they have the off switch because our minds get trained to respond in a certain way. And then we get caught in that loop. And it's hard to ever go back to anything other than constantly in motion. We spend a lot of time doing physical training to get our bodies in shape, and we might do nutrition training and try to eat certain ways for health, but we really spend very little time doing mental training. I mean, people talk a lot about meditation and the value of meditation, but the amount of people that actually participate in meditation is very, very tiny. And one of the reasons that people say that they don't participate in meditation is it makes them more anxious.
That's 100% me. I prefer something very active, like running or working out or being outdoors, because all that alone time makes me feel crazy.
Right. The meditation people talk about, going into meditation, that makes them actually have more anxiety and more discomfort. So I want to talk about how we can actually get the benefits that meditation brings to people who practice meditation, but not in the silence that we expect meditation to be. That the benefits of meditation, the way it slows down our central nervous system and calms our thoughts, can also be achieved in other ways. And what I find interesting in thinking about this show was that in a lot of ways, we actually naturally are drawn to activities that calm our nervous system and calm us down, but we don't recognize that they're doing that, so we don't get the benefits because there's not the intentionality of, oh, I can sense that this is kind of slowing me down or I feel better participating in this activity. If we don't recognize the benefits, then sometimes we just gloss over it or we jump out of it too soon before we're getting the actual benefits. But you might be surprised to see that there are things you're already drawn to and doing on a regular basis that you don't even recognize are in ways meditative for you.
Well, like what? Are we going to get to that later?
We're going to get to that. Here's kind of where I came to with this idea. With my classes, I open every class with a song and an inspirational quote to kind of set the mood for that day, whatever the lecture is, what we're going to talk about, because I want my students to kind of get in the place of thinking about this topic. And I also open class kind of doing some breathing a little bit, but I have them kind of think about the quote or the song that was playing and kind of how that kind of sits with them. And so that reminded me, that I carry with me little wads of paper, folded up paper of inspirational quotes that I find very helpful. And every time I read them, I remind myself, oh, that quote was so important, or now I know why I really love this quote. And I started thinking, I think most of us have inspirational quotes that we keep someplace, either, folded up in our wallet or on the refrigerator or on a mirror or on the visor in our car, someplace that you just every now and then catch a glimpse of it and it reminds you, oh, yeah, I really love those thoughts. I want to keep those in my mind. I want them to influence how I behave. And so that was one piece of it. And then I might have told you a few weeks ago that I kind of came across this workout program by this woman named Erin Stutland. And I'm sure a lot of people have heard of her. I had never heard of her until it kind of came into my inbox. And she does this kind of fast-paced, motivational, like short burst workouts, like 5-minute workouts, which I can fit in 5 minutes. But she starts the whole thing with the soul stroll, she calls it. And it's this 20-minute, like, super high-energy dance music. But throughout the whole thing, you do these mantras. She's, like, having you say these mantras, you know, I am strong, I am healthy, I am happy, or whatever those things are, inspirational ideas and mantras. And so I did the soul stroll probably a month ago. And I came back and I was so buzzed up and so full of high energy. I thought, that, why don't I remember to do things like this? That vibration and whatever that music was at that energy level and kind of out loud, you know, saying these positive things. It's like I felt so good. I was floated through the rest of the day. So I've been kind of sticking with that and kind of came back to this idea of, you know, how we, when we vibrate at a certain level, we feel better. However we define vibrating at a different level, but certain things, you know, kind of lift our energy and we start to feel more positive and we start to feel more calm. And I realize that the connection between these mantras and the mantras that people do in yoga class or mantras that people do with meditation or the prayers when people do the rosary or any sort of prayers through other religious traditions, or we read over inspirational quotes and we feel inspired and read them over and over again, or lyrics from songs that get stuck in our head, you know, that there's like a line from a song that you just, you, it really resonates with you and it keeps kind of playing over and over again, you hear this song. So I realized that they're all interconnected and they all of those energies, vibrational energies, serve our mental health in similar ways. And so I came across this research that was done in the 1970s, and it's been ongoing ever since then, by Dr. Herbert Benson, professor at Harvard, and he has been studying how meditation and prayer can actually alter our physical and mental states, regardless of what the practitioner repeats over and over, whatever the words are or the phrase that the practitioner is using, that any phrase or word or a commitment to a mantra that we say over and over again has the same effects of relaxing us and creating the ability to better cope with life stressors. So now I understand why I get linked onto different phrases and they run through my head all day long, because they are calming me or centering me or focusing me on a certain thing. So I thought today it would be interesting to find out what your inspirational quotes are. What are the quotes that you kind of have taped to a mirror somewhere or stuck in a pocket somewhere that you revert to or look back on and it inspires your life? Or is there a song lyric that you listen to over and over again that makes you feel inspired or helps motivate you? Or do you have a mantra practice or a prayer practice that you do? For me right now, the thing that's been playing through my head for months is a song from Proxima Parada, Time in a Circle. And the lyric, you don't have to play it yet, Tyler. Tyler's panicking. But the song has been looping in my head so much, and it's really tied into kind of what's been going on in my life. And so I figured, well, for today's conversation, since I've been completely hooked onto this lyric, I was going to have Nick Larson from Proxima Parada come in and help me stay in my mantra. I want to know what these lyrics mean, if they meant the same thing to him. And I want to talk to him also about what inspires him as a musician, because that vibrational energy that comes with playing music has an incredibly healing piece to it. So we're all over the place today. We're going to talk about overall, what are the vibrations that inspire you in words, in prayer, in mantra, in song? How do you get that sound going inside of you that helps you feel calm? And if you don't, then how can we help you find a simple way to bring up that vibration inside of you so you can start healing your mental health, calming your nervous system, and getting more out of life? I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. We'll be opening up the phone lines, 805-781-3875. And you can also participate by finding me on my Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist. You can join us on our Instagram, Elizabeth_TRT, and we do weekly updates about the show. You can send me an email to Elizabeth@TheReluctantTherapist.com. And as always, you can listen to previous shows at kcbx.org or podcasts through Apple Podcasts. Find A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. Hit subscribe. You'll get all the shows. Share them with a friend. Leave a review. Anything we can do to share the word. But I'm excited to open up the phone lines and hear about your words. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And what you're listening to is considered one of the most universal mantras known to man, Om. It can be spelled A-U-M or O-M, mantra. And it's interesting because I found different definitions, but mantra is Sanskrit for mind tool or man tool. And a mantra is a vibration through which we focus our thoughts and feelings and highest intentions, and the vibration connects us to the one, which I found beautiful. And I also wanted to share with you what the – you can keep that playing, Tyler, because it's very calming, actually. It's the most universally recited mantra in the world. It's considered to be the sound of the creation of the universe and is believed to contain every vibration that ever existed or will exist in the future. And the idea of uttering this sacred word, this numinous sound, is supposed to lift us in our spiritual powers and aids our concentration. Let's listen a little bit more. Beautiful. And I'm happy to be sharing this hour with Nick Larson from Proxima Parada.
Hello.
Thanks for coming in.
Yes.
Because as I said in the opening, your song, Time in a Circle, has just been looping in my head since I heard it back in June.
Wow.
And some of the lyrics have really, I think, been parallel to things that have been going on in my life.
Oh, I'm honored.
I don't know. I hope that I heard them in the way that you intended, or maybe not, because maybe music has no intention.
Please, yeah.
That you just put it out there and we take it. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about things that inspire us, words, quotations that inspire us, and lyrics and songs. You write lyrics, so I imagine that you're getting inspiration from somewhere to create the music.
Mm.
And then I wanted to talk about the mental health benefits of the vibrations we get when we pray or chant mantras or sing songs. As I mentioned before, the research that was done starting in the 70s showed that it wasn't exactly the words as much, but it was that vibration that the body was feeling that was helping to enhance our mental health and well-being.
Yeah, I think the mindfulness that we bring to those words, that we really put our focus into it, I think that makes a huge effect on the mantra, you know?
Yes, and I had mentioned that before, that if you're not feeling calmer after you do this, it might be that you're putting too much pressure on the experience. Like, I need to calm down. I need to calm down. So I'm going to do a mantra, or I'm going to meditate, which actually activates you, and then it has no benefit.
Yeah.
And so to settle into it with less expectations.
Well, we should hopefully be doing these things like meditating or reciting mantras for the pleasure of reciting it, not to get some sort of experience out of it, right? Not, I'm going to do this mantra so that I'll feel more calm. It's just, I want to do this mantra because it feels good. Because,
yes.
You know, it's a little bit of a different perspective on it. Like, I'm going to meditate for the joy of meditating, not so that I can be more focused at work or something, even though these consequences do come.
Right. And sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
But if you at least got pleasure in the action, then that enhances your physical and mental health.
I think so, yeah.
And so, I mean, it goes without saying that music is joyful, that people are drawn to music because it's pleasurable, although you might listen to music when you're sad and it brings up another state.
Absolutely.
So music can tap into a lot of things. But when it comes to music and chanting mantras, I just wanted to list some of the physical and mental health benefits that people, yeah, I don't think recognize. It improves your immunity because while you're chanting or singing or doing prayer, you're moving the circulation, the blood is moving, the oxygen's moving, and so it helps kind of ignite all of your immunity in your body to kind of battle off any toxins. It helps to calm your mind, as we know. It balances your chakras, if you're a chakra believer. Chanting mantras helps to increase our concentration and ability to learn, because in some ways it frees all the noise up in the head. You know, it kind of tamps down the noise in our head.
Yeah, even if just for a moment.
Right.
Yeah.
And then there's room for more information. Because I think we try to keep so much information in top of our head that we block out the ability to bring in new information.
Mm.
Or we're so busy spinning in all the ways that our life isn't going the way we want it to, that we block out the ability for new information. It improves our heart health because it calms down our nervous system, which takes strain off of our heart. It helps keep depression at bay, increases our radiance and vibration, which I love that. It actually makes our skin glow.
Wow.
And look better, because while you're chanting certain mantras or while you're singing, and I mean, you're a singer, so maybe you can relate to this, that you're putting pressure on the tongue and vocal cords and lips and your palate and other connecting points in the body. And while they're all connecting together, the vibration of the singing or the mantra stimulates your hypothalamus, which regulates your body functions, including your immunity and your hormones, which helps rid yourself of toxins and brings a greater glow to your skin.
Wow.
So there you go.
That's a lot.
So you don't need a therapist or a dermatologist if you just sing some Proxima Parada songs or find a mantra that you vibrate with.
Yeah.
So do you have a mantra? Or do you chant?
I think I have tons.
Mm-hmm.
I think I use the term mantra probably a little more loosely than like the om, the one mantra. But I think that for me, the mantras that feel the best are the ones that come from me. So even, or like maybe I'm taking in a lot of mantras from other people's perspectives, and then I might write my own mantra that feels really personal to me. So when I recite it, I can feel a sense of authenticity and like conviction with the mantra.
So are you talking about kind of, in your mind, the mantra is a aspirational thought, like I am good, therefore I'll succeed, or are they?
Not so much that. For me, I feel like maybe there's like levels of mantras, like a level one mantra, like breathing in, breathing out. Like that's a nice mantra for me.
So it's,
like,
so the simple
I am,
act.
Yeah, like dwelling in the present moment, in-breath. I like to do mantras with the in-breath and the out-breath, right? So like in-breath would be like dwelling in the present moment, and then out-breath would be like, I choose this wonderful moment. Something very simple.
No, I like that.
Not like, yeah, like I am connected to all that is. Like that's a very, I feel like, you know, little by little, you gotta.
You're starting on the lower level.
Yeah, I'm just like happy to be connected to my body and be aware that I'm in the present moment.
I think you're breathing in.
That's hard enough, I think.
I think it is. And when I was looking at the, you know, basics of starting with the mantras, they talked about the om, and that you om as you breathe in, and then you om as you breathe out, and that kind of sets the tone for the breath.
Yeah.
So that would be a very nice starting point. And the other thing that inspired the show is that I share an office at Cal Poly with Dan Levi, Dr. Levi, and he always has some kind of interesting card on the desk that we share, and they're mantras, just kind of things that he recites to himself when he's walking to and from campus.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like that getting set for the day or kind of that centering space.
And then like a lot of the songs that I write are going to have mantras involved in there.
Talk about that.
Well, like a, I don't know, like a chorus or something. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, most of the songs that I write are some sort of lesson that I needed to learn or some sort of insight that I had for my own life of like maybe something that brought me some peace or joy or comfort or encouragement. And so by like solidifying it into a song lyric, it helps me kind of embody that teaching, whatever it was. Maybe it's like, I don't need to be such a jerk. And maybe that's like the lyric, I'm not going to be such a jerk, something like that. And then it's like every time I sing that, it's like I'm reminded of the of that realization that I had or something.
No, and that becomes the chant or the mantra for you. And then everyone who hears that and relates to it will also, when they're singing that song, kind of build in that benefit.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope it gives people permission to feel that same insight that I had.
And it feels so great to sing out loud, to belt out loud in the shower, in your car.
Absolutely.
No matter what
it
is.
When I run, when I'm on my bike. I sure do. Yeah.
I found myself singing out loud with my headphones more when I ride my bike. Uh-huh. I used to just kind of listen to
hum. It's good for you.
But I'm less conscious of anyone else listening to me as I'm riding past on my bike. I'm just belting it out.
I think it's a good thing for people to hear people singing by themselves. Yeah.
Just off key and feeling it.
I do it all the time, yeah.
Well, and with the songs that you're writing, I love that you said that it becomes a mantra to yourself, kind of like inspirational quotes, which were also another thing I thought about for the show. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you do this, but I will write them down and, you know, put them places so that I see the quote. And I want to share a couple that kind of inspired the show. And if you're just tuning in, this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. My guest today is Nick Larson from the local band Proxima Prada. And we're talking about kind of, I mean, vibration and the mental health and physical health benefits of getting yourself vibrating in a positive way, either through mantras or through song or reciting an inspirational quote or whatever that thing is. That
you also mentioned prayer. Yeah,
prayer. Thank you. Prayer that lifts us, and that repetitive chanting and reciting helps to clear our minds and to calm our bodies. As I said at the opening, a lot of people reject meditation, even though meditation, like journaling, have the highest levels of success in dealing with mental health issues. Mm-hmm. Meditation has the lowest level of success in people following through because they get anxious in the process.
Because
it's hard.
Yeah.
And so this idea of being able to chant or sing or have inspirational thoughts that we repeat or lyrics and songs, it gives our minds something to do so that our body can calm down. Yeah. Because our mind is occupied with something else with these words. So Ralph Waldo Emerson, it's a very long quote, but if someone were to ask me, you know, how is it that you frame your life? This quote would be the thing that I aspire to be, the human I aspire to be. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "To laugh often and much, to win the respect of intelligent people and the affection of children, to earn the appreciation of honest critics and endure the betrayal of false friends, to appreciate beauty and the best in others, to leave the world a bit better, whether it be by a healthy child, a garden patch, or a redeemed social condition, to know even one life has breathed easier because you have lived, this is to have succeeded."
Beautiful.
And every time I read that, I feel focused. And then there are the simple inspirational quotes, like there's one by, well, there's a couple that I love by Hunter S. Thompson, which are a little more snarky and not as much inspirational, but I think I have to find where it is. He talked about the purpose of life at the end of your life. Life should not be a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a pretty, well-preserved body, but rather to skid in broadside in a cloud of smoke, thoroughly used up, wholly worn out, and loudly proclaiming, "Wow, what a ride." I love that. And then Anis Nin talks about the the challenge of change, and this is something that I recite often to myself, that the day came when the risk to remain tight in a bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom. So what about you?
I think the mantra that I probably recite most is, I have arrived, I am home. I think that's probably the thing that I need to remind myself of most, especially it's nice when you're walking, if you like walk really slowly and with each step you say that, I've arrived, I'm home. That's a really nice feeling.
I do like that.
Yeah. And it's nice to remember that for some, because we, you know, we associate home with a place, but I don't think that's true.
Because we often overlook that our home is our bodies.
Yeah, home here.
But
yeah.
If we're not comfortable in our skin, then we're never home.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that can become our greatest challenge.
Yeah, and to give myself a little bit of, like, allow myself to rest a little bit by saying I have arrived, because I'm always striving. I always want to be better and work harder, and nothing I do is ever enough. That's kind of like how I operate. And so to say I have arrived gives myself a little bit of respite. Like, oh, yeah, I've arrived. There's nothing I need to do. I'm already enough. I'm already
permission
home,
to be.
Permission to be, yeah. And I think that's when I can feel more creative, when I can just accept myself.
I love that. And when you're in your process of creating or writing songs or writing music, do you have a practice to get yourself in that space, or does inspiration just come? Like, how do you?
I've almost never just forced out a song. Until last week on Thursday was the first time I ever did that. And it was because I was meeting with a songwriter down in L.A. Her artist name is Million Miles, and she's this really soulful artist that reached out about writing a song together in a day. And I thought, that's something I've never done and I'm not comfortable, but yes, let's do it. And so I drove down to L.A. and met with her. And at 11:30 a.m. we started a song, and at 3 p.m. we finished it. And it was a trip. Because we started from nothing, and we just, yeah, we did try to get into a space. I like just thought, like, let's be silent. Let's just kind of tune into the thing I said was like, let's just kind of be aware of the stories that we have going on in our heads lately. Like, what kind of narratives have I been telling myself? Mm-hmm. And that's how it started. And that's what created the song. Was just like thinking about, I don't know, I think if we all kind of stop and are aware that there's always like something going on in our head about like, oh, like the why we make the decisions we make, or why we go that way instead of this way, or, you know, because there's always some narrative that's leading us to that, I think.
Oh, you're right. And yeah. We're either paying attention to the narrative, or it's just leading us, yeah. and we don't pay attention.
Totally.
And that's what gets us into trouble.
I learned that the word is schemas. Yeah. There's schemas that we use to like live our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's interesting that one of the other things when I was kind of researching, I've become really fascinated with the whole idea of the vibrational energies and that vibrational energy of chanting and prayer and song all have kind of the same impact on us. And I learned a term, two things that I'd never heard of. One was vibra-acoustic therapy.
Never heard of it either.
So new for me, because I'm aware of music therapy and, you know, the benefit. It actually started right around World War I. And just a little family side note, my great grandmother actually played the piano for returning veterans after World War I.
That's cool.
And that music was helping with the shell shocked veterans. And it was kind of the precursor, not just her, but the idea that music was connecting to veterans returning home,
yeah,
shell-shocked.
To soothe them,
to awaken parts of their brain. And they didn't quite know why, but I understand music therapy. So here we shoot ahead years later, and a Dr. Lee Bartel from Toronto University has found that sound vibrations, kind of similar to a low rumble, can emit these vibrations at specific frequencies that can help reorient the brain with people who have early onset Alzheimer's or Parkinson's.
Wow.
Yeah, or fibromyalgia, that they've seen that the brain gets a bit, the rhythm of the brain gets disoriented, and this low rumbling vibrations, like vibroacoustic sound, can help reorient the brain. And so what they do is that they set up this rhythmic pulse of music and put the speakers right next to the person, and that vibration, it's kind of like they described it as sitting on a subwoofer.
Oh, wow.
And that vibration kind of recenters. And it made me think of two things that vibrations that I love. One is the sound at the racetrack when there's cars with big engines racing, like the big, deep, guttural sound that I've always loved that hits me right in the chest.
Oh, it feels good in the chest.
Yes, and I love that space. And then today, coming in to do the show, the song Baby Got Back came on. Do you remember that song?
Sir Mix-a-Lot.
You'd
great
have
mantra,
to,
yeah.
You'd have to thump it a little because it's got the heaviest subwoofer in it. And in the car, I thought, oh, I totally get this vibroacoustic therapy because it's maybe not the lyrics of the song, but the way it was hitting me, it felt so good.
Yeah.
It was like I was having my own musical mantra healing or something with that song. And so if we pay attention to the vibroacoustic piece, that healing part, why it helps to center us. And then the other part was when we start out in doing any mantras or singing or reciting, what happens is that what gets us in trouble, like if you try to meditate or you're trying to be calm and you can't, is because your body has a default mode that it goes back into in the brain. I mean, it's kind of like it's a switch or it's a, if your mind were a computer, you have a default mode network in your mind.
Yeah.
And so it's active all the time. And when you talk about it's like self-reflecting or that dialogue that's in your head, that's our default mode network. Mm-hmm. That's where we go every time we are. Our mind is wandering. Our mind is wandering, or we're feeling reflective. It jumps the space that is our ongoing narrative.
Sure.
But it can also become very chaotic.
Very quickly.
Very quickly. Yeah. And so the work of chanting and singing helps us shut down the default mode network and clear space for new thoughts and feelings.
All it requires is some good old concentration.
Or no concentration and just doing your chants.
Yeah, but I mean concentrating on the chant.
Yes, being able to remember what the chant is.
Just sitting with the chant and letting that be your focus,
I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. My guest today is Nick Larson from the band Proxima Prada, who are working on a new album.
Yes.
A new album.
We'll be releasing it in 2019,
Very excited.
Yeah.
And you're kind of finishing out the year strong with some shows in Santa Cruz and Sacramento. And
San Francisco, LA, San Diego,
So things are going well.
Things are going well. Yeah, things are picking up.
And we're going to continue our conversation about chanting and music and vibrations and how to heal our mental health, or at least improve our mental health. And I'd like to open up the phone lines at 805-781-3875 for you to be part of the conversation, to share your words of inspiration or your mantras and see where it takes us from there. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio KCBX. We'll be right back to carry on.
Heartbeat from 1,000 miles. Yeah, the heavens open every time she smiles. And when I come to her, that's where I belong. Yet I run into her like a river song. She gave me love, love, love. She gave me love, 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 crazy. She got a fine sense of humor when I'm feeling low down. Yeah, when I come to her, when the sun goes down. Take away my trouble, take away my grief. Take away my heartache in a night like a thief. She gave me love, 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 crazy love. She gave me love, 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 crazy love. Yeah, I need her in the daytime.
That's Van Morrison, and there's a lot of Van Morrison music that hits me right in that chest spot.
That's a good one right there. Yeah.
So what are some songs or things that hit you in that chest spot?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I wish I had I could compile a huge list.
You want to know another one of mine is Kashmir by Led Zeppelin.
Really? Yeah. Oh, wow.
Because heavy beat in the beginning of that song was like used to psych me up for soccer games.
You know, there's a song by Bobby Charles called I Must Be in a Good Place Now. I must be in a good place now. It's just so like, ooh, I love it. Yeah,
it in music? Is it the horns, the vocals? Because for me, I know if there's an organ playing or heavy horns, it gets me.
Oh, yeah, interesting. Yeah, I'm a sucker for some just very authentic vocals, like very sincere, heartfelt vocals like Van Morrison there on Crazy Love.
Yeah, he hits me in that spot.
Yeah, from the soul.
805-781-3875 is our number. Hey, John, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
Hi, yeah. Hi, it's a great subject. I think it's real relevant to our times and our particular culture.
Thank you.
I guess the point I was kind of thinking about is I've been studying for years, and we live in a narcissistic culture. It's so kind of involved with its self-importance to the point of being almost too weak to listen to this show and get the point. I think that people can get this so lost in it, and they'll be going to look for an app instead or something. And I was going to point out that one of the more fundamental aspects of mindfulness, as I've learned, is to start out to combat that self-importance that weakens us and keeps us in our monkey brain is brought up in the Shambhala, the appreciation of the basic goodness around us, and sort of separate from all kinds of methods and strategies and just simply respond to the notion that there's stuff all around us that's working beautifully, and we're part of it.
And then to operate from that place.
Instead of always searching for something external to make things better.
Hmm.
Is that?
And you can like that famous word in the Bible, be still and know God. The ability to just be able to be still rather than always jacked up and trying to satisfy our self-important narcissistic urges and whether we're being hip or whatever is together and just, like, whoa.
I hear you,
slow
John.
Slow down, man.
Absolutely. Thank you, John, because I think that that's one of the things that I settled on right at the beginning of the show was that we keep thinking that calming our nervous system, tending to our mental health, relieving depression, all the things that are chronic in society now, we think take big magical interventions.
Yeah.
But it really comes down to these simple practices that don't have to be so rigid.
Just our willingness to show up. That's what it is. Like, man, I meditate every day and I still, for the most part, suck at it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really mean anything. It's that you don't have to be good at meditating. You just show up and you just keep trying. Keep sitting, keep breathing. That's it. And it gets easier. Sometimes there's good days and I feel some clarity. But for the most part, it's a struggle. But I just keep showing up. And I think that's what it is.
Well, I do. And I like the idea that you also don't have to be totally quiet in it. Because I think that's where I've struggled, and I know as I said, for 25 years I've been encouraging clients and people to take a meditation, but to be able to say, you know what, it can be musical. You can recite a song lyric over and over in your head. Mm-hmm. It can be the breathing in and breathing out, the chanting, because there is a piece, and I keep wanting to go back to that vibration, the vibroacoustic therapy they're talking about, and the vibrating that goes through that cleanses your, awakens your hormones and settles your hypothalamus because you're using your throat and your tongue and your palate. And the work that the doctor did in Harvard, that it really wasn't the words as much as the sounds that were doing the work. So we don't have to get wrapped up in doing it right or having the right mantra. Or having the right seated position, but just to trust that making the sounds. And I think if you look at babies, they're making sounds all day long. Mm-hmm. And that calmingness for them, learning to self-soothe is why the sounds that they're making, the interaction, the vocalizing they're doing, we are born with the skills to self-calm.
Mm.
And to bring ourselves to a vibrational place that's healing and healthy. And I think if you just watched babies joyfully vocalize all the time, we'd all feel more confident that we had the capacity inside of ourselves to heal.
Mm.
Instead of looking externally, as John was saying, for apps and things that are going to make us better, you just go back to our baby self and start to vocalize.
No kidding.
You're listening to A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. My guest is Nick Larson. And Nikki, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi. Well, as you've continued to talk, I've gone into various areas because I have a one-year-old grandbaby. So I've been watching her coo herself. Every time she's ready to really shut down, she'll coo herself to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But I primarily called because when I first heard you talking about, I feel like this is probably synchronicity, is I have an appointment tomorrow with a woman who does a process that's called, they call it biofield tuning.
Okay.
And it's actually done, it's a purely vibrational because it's done with tuning forks.
Mm.
And the tuning forks are used, various sizes and intensity of them.
And in different parts of the body, right?
Well, literally, they're used to clear and align the, they call it the biofield. That's actually a National Institute of Health term, but in more colloquial terms, we tend to call it our aura or our electromagnetic field. Mm. And so that's actually what they're working on when they're using the forks.
Mm. Is that like sound bathing?
No. Well, the woman who developed this particular format is called Eileen, E-I-L-E-E-N, McCusick.
Mm.
And she is phenomenal. There's a lot of YouTube video of her. That's how I got turned on to it. I got linked to her. And then I went to her website and found someone in Morro Bay who actually is very well trained in the work.
Oh, cool.
So I'm going tomorrow to get this done.
Wow.
But, yeah, I just wanted to say that on her website, she has an Edgar Cayce quote that says, the idea is that the healing of the future is sound. Or will be through sound.
Mm.
Beautiful. Thank you, Nikki. And if you have a great experience, send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com because maybe we'll do a whole other show focused on the tuning forks. Because when I was doing the work for this, I kept looking at sound bathing, which is a whole other area. I think it's related.
With more as like bowls.
And, yes.
Yeah.
But that'll be something else.
And all sorts
about.
Of different things. Yeah.
You can sound bathe me in Proxima Prime music.
I went to one sound bath actually before.
And?
It was really cool. It was at my friend's house. And my friend, do you know the Something Ridiculous Jugglers? Great guys.
They've been part of our Live Oak family.
Yeah, so we love them. And I was actually just with Mark. That's why I was late here. I was having lunch with Mark. But anyways, John does sound bathing, so... I did one session with him, and it kind of transported me to another realm. I felt like I was like a little kid. It was weird in a good way.
I really
enjoyed it. Yeah,
yeah. I think that's a whole other place to take the show too. Because I think I want to stay, you know, in this spot moving into the new year with all that's going on. I think my goal for 2019 is about lifting vibrational energy, you know, like lifting my own and hopefully carrying that out to my listeners as well, is that we to do active things to stay lifted and stay up in the space, because if we're all vibrating into the higher place, our mental health is better and we all need to be at our best, be on our best game moving forward, because there's a lot of work to do.
Mm.
805-781-3875 to be part of the conversation. Stacy, what's on your mind?
Hi, I just wanted to express my gratitude to Nick because I attended one of his live performances at a local yoga studio in Flo.
Oh, that's so cool.
And it was a Vinyasa yoga, and because of the music and how he was in tune to the vibrations and the pauses and, I just felt like I was able to focus better. I was able to get deeper into poses. And I just want to say thank you because it's wonderful and I resonate with you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that, Stacy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stacy.
Yeah. I hope you come back. I'm usually there every Monday at Spark.
I'll see you there.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Stacy.
Bye.
Look at you going, elevating vibration. You're like taking charge of my subject for next year. Maybe we'll have to do like a monthly vibrational energy balancing on air. You can
That'd
come
be
in.
Cool.
And we'll start off doing kind of some ohms or our own chanting. We'll have to come up with our own chanting words.
Sure.
Okay. We've got that going on. All right. So I wanted to go back to kind of what I talked about earlier, one inspirational quotes. Do you keep anything folded up in your wallet that you look at and reminds you of, you know?
No, I don't. I don't.
Interested. Nothing like taped on a mirror anywhere? Or?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
No, I think I just carry it with me on the inside for the most part.
Comes out in song.
Yeah, certainly.
So I want to talk about one of the reasons that I called you and said, come do the show with me, is because I have been earwormed your song Time in a Circle since June when I first heard it. And there's a couple parts of the song and that kind of resonate. So I want you to tell me what's going on for you. So, and I'm not going to sing it, you're going to have to. But it's the part, I don't know if it's the chorus or leading, where you say, I'm going to find my simple way.
Yeah. So the song is like two sort of different perspectives. One is the verse, which is acknowledging... the verse is acknowledging a need to do some personal work and finally gaining some awareness of like, oh, wow, there's some things that I've been doing a long time that I have a deep habit with, and I'm ready to, you know, reconstruct myself and tear myself down and build myself back up. And then this chorus is acknowledging that, like, knowing that doing this work is going to I can imagine the peace and ease that I'll feel in my life if I'm willing to keep being introspective and looking at myself and calling myself out on my stuff, you know.
So when you sing, I'm gonna find my simple way.
Yeah,
I don't know if you feel like you can hit it right now.
Oh, man,
I can tell you about it. But it's just because we talked about what resonates, and it's when you sing that, that's what
it goes
hits
up.
That,
yeah,
it hits that chest part
bit of
for
a
me.
Note. Yeah, yeah.
we'll play it at the end of the show, and then everyone can hear what we're talking about, because I can see the look in your eyes, like, don't make me sing.
Well,
that.
It won't sound quite as cool without all, you know,
the background.
Everyone all together doing it. Yeah,
but it is. But it
it's
that's
powerful.
When we talk about hitting us in our chest. That hits me in my chest, and the words, I'm going to find my simple way. And then the other piece of the song talking about tear my house down and do some reconstruction.
Yeah.
And anyone who listens to me regularly knows that we've been gutting through our house since last June and emptying all the closets and painting all the walls.
So for you, it's the literal house, yeah.
But it's metaphorical, too, because I feel that I'm going through some huge shift, like I'm reconstructing myself.
Yeah, and it's scary to open our door up and say, like, letting people see us, which, you know, I always want to look good for people. Mm-hmm. I always want to look like I have all my stuff together, look like my house is really beautiful and perfect. And then you open your door up and you have to acknowledge that, like, oh man, there's some things that I got to work on, you know? And so to acknowledge that is a big step. It's very vulnerable. So when I first wrote that song, I didn't think I was going to share that song with anybody.
Really?
And it's a trip, because that's our most popular song we've written. And there was a guy in Germany who's actually from Africa and then moved to France and then moved to Germany. And he heard that song and he's like, I think he's probably in his 60s or something. And he enjoyed that song so much that he recorded his own version of it and posted on YouTube. And he didn't even send it to us. I just came across it one day and was like, oh my God, who's this random guy in Germany singing my song? It's so amazing.
Because he found a mantra with it. I think that's kind of the whole theme of today's show, is that we can find our mantras in really interesting ways, that it's a lyric or an inspirational quote, something that keeps playing in us, that it becomes part of our the way we move
absolutely
in the world
and
right
the
now.
Way we make sense of things,
and where we are in the time. I'm trying to think of other songs. I mean, right now I really am kind of locked into
Time
in a Circle, because that's where I'm at. But I talked about some other songs, but there's certain songs that I'll play because they get to that space and they become this kind of active mantra, singing along with it, getting in that space, that calm my nervous system and that turn off my default mode network so that I can think other thoughts.
Yeah, I think it's good for us.
805-781-3875. We have time for a couple more calls. So, Margie, what do you think about all this?
Well, I have been, sound has been an integral part of my life. I'm a singer and musician, work with children, sing with children, sing all week long. So there is no doubt that that when I sing, when I see children who are troubled, and I do sometimes volunteer and work with children who have pretty much nothing, and it changes the whole aspect of their face, their body, everything. And
wakes us up.
It does. And singing has healed me many times. I will not go into all the different times, but just recently, about 4 months ago, my oldest grandson died of a heroin overdose.
Oh, wow.
Terrible. Just terrible. And we, at our celebration at Thanksgiving, our whole big family, my daughter, whose son he is, requested several different songs. Mm. And there were 38 people there. And we all sang the song.
Wow. What song did you sing? Do you remember?
And she danced. One was "This Is My Fight." One was, I sing so many songs because I'm rehearsing right now for a master chorale thing, and I just finished the children's choir thing. They were just songs that and we had written out the words so if people didn't know them. But there were 38 people that were at this gathering, and everybody was holding hands and in tears toward the second or third song. And these are people who say, "I can't sing, I can't sing." And also, I could go on and on about sound and music, and especially disadvantaged children, but. My son-in-law, Mark Welch, travels. He has been in the area for a long time. He lives in Cambria, but he travels all over doing sound therapy, sound and vibration therapy. And he, and also Judith Dunlore, who lives up in Aurora Grande, she is trained and not that you have to be trained, but she also does sound therapy and vibrational therapy. And so it is really coming into, I mean, I wouldn't say the mainstream, but people are beginning to realize how it feels
Absolutely.
To be singing with other people.
No kidding.
I mean, it's just magnificent.
I can hear in your voice, Margie, how much it means to you. And I'm so sorry for your loss, but I always appreciate your calls because you bring such positivity and love to the world, even in the most dire of experiences, that I cherish you as a listener. And thank you for calling and sharing the story, because I guess really what we're just talking about is making joyful noise together.
Yeah, that's a nice way of putting it.
Making joyful noise and not putting any expectations on it becoming a beautiful Nick Larson song. Or right? Or
let's say Proxima Parada.
It's not
a Nick Larson song.
I know.
These guys play a role.
That's true. They need to come in then and speak for themselves.
Cool. Yeah, you got to pressure them though.
Yeah, next visit it'll be everybody. but I guess the point is not feeling like if we can't create a Proxima Parada song, then we're not singers. That everyone can vocalize. You know, I love watching my 3-year-old granddaughter just belt out Michael Franti songs like she's on stage. And just no inhibitions at all. And I can see her face, her cheeks get rosier, you know, her eyes light up, and it all, now when I look at the research about vibroacoustic therapy and different sound therapies, that it's just the act of making sounds. And I think that we get constipated emotionally when we don't allow sounds to come out of us. And we get locked down in our throat, then our chest gets tight. And at some point in our lives, someone must have said, "You're not a good singer." And I'm feeling really guilty in the moment as I said that, because years ago I ran the folk mass at our church growing up, and So I would sit up in the, you know, balcony, and we'd be doing our songs. And I could hear my mom down in the church singing, and her voice was not strong. And I remember as a teenager saying to my mom, don't sing at church because I can hear you and it's distracting. Mom, I'm sorry about that, because I was too mature to know that just belting out whatever she was feeling was how she connected in the moment.
And we are so sensitive. One person told me one time when I was like 12 years old, like, hey, could you not sing right now? And it was like probably because it wasn't an appropriate time to sing. And I stopped singing for like 6 years. I refused to sing. I was like devastated.
And so what brought you back? What brought your voice back to you?
Kevin, our bass player.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I was singing for sure, but like very secretly. And then like playing with Kevin, we just like, oh, who cares? Like, let's just play freely. And yeah, we just sing, like singing Beatles songs and Bob Dylan songs. It just felt good. It felt freeing. And then I got hooked.
So when you're performing or just singing for yourself, what kind of lift do you feel?
Oh, man. Gosh, yeah.
Where does it hit you?
Sometimes I feel like I'm in a totally different realm. Like I'm here, but I feel like really connected to everybody, you know? And I think that's a beautiful feeling.
And when you're doing your meditation, because it sounds like you have a very specific meditative practice as well. Is that different than, like, is the chanting that you do in your meditation, or do you do a mantra work?
Not out loud.
Okay, you don't.
No, I do it. I do it silently.
Okay.
I think it's because since I deal so much with noise, I have to work really hard to be in silence. Mm. And so that also, I think we need silence too. I think we can't. You know, for those of us who are silent, most of the time it's nice to be able to get out and make some noise, but I'm making too much noise, so I got to know when to be silent too.
Isn't that interesting? There is that balance. And I guess if there's a takeaway from today, what I would hope we can take after the conversation is to find something to vibrate with, whether it's listening to Sir Mix-a-Lot and feeling that bass in your chest and dancing along, or if it's, you know, finding an inspirational quote that runs through your brain, and whenever you're feeling stressed or overwhelmed, you just start repeating that quote through your mind that inspires you, you know, to laugh often and much, to win the respect of intelligent people, the affection of children, whatever that thing is that runs through you, or if there's that mantra, that om, that sound, because the om hits me in that place, the same place as a lot of music.
Especially when you do it with other people.
Exactly.
It's really good.
As Margie was saying, you get that group of people, that energy lifts you to challenge yourself over the holidays to find some ways to make some noise, starting maybe with Christmas carols.
Yeah.
Nick, thank you for hanging out with me today.
Yeah, my pleasure.
I appreciate it. This has been a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. You can find me at thereluctanttherapist.com or send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. Join us on our Facebook page. Hang out with us on Instagram, Elizabeth_TRT. I want to leave you today with the song that's been spinning in my head since June. It's Proxima Parada from their album
Big Seven.
The song is called Time in a Circle, and I hope you listen to the lyrics, and I hope maybe that it hits you in the way that it hits me. Thank you, as always, for being a part of our community, being a part of our Central Coast Public Radio KCBX family. I look forward to getting back in touch with you next Tuesday. Enjoy. This is Time in a Circle, Proxima Parada.
Thank you so much.
Know what I should see, but I don't really know what I should see, but oh, I'm looking, oh, I'm looking. I decided to open my door. Decided to open my door, but I hate the way my house looks now. I'm gonna find my simple way over and over again. I'm gonna keep it all the same. Thank you.
I saw a fire burning in my wall. I saw a fire burning in my walls, but I just had to let it go. I decided to save something special. I decided to save something special, but I keep it close by. I'm gonna find my simple way. Begin some reconstruction.